go but to the Lord. He's always there for us, isn't he? Amen. Brother Mark, if you come receive the offering tithes this morning, appreciate it.
The offering, Father, we're so very thankful for everything that you do for us every day. Most importantly, we're thankful for you giving us your very own life, Father. You died for us, Father. We can't thank you enough. Just bless Brother Sam, Father. Give us wisdom and understanding and increase our faith today, Father. And speak to our hearts, Father. And wash us clean by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Let's look over to 174. Just cross page there. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I know I'll be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, I know I'll see my Savior if my life is free from sin. Heaven's doors will open for me when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I know I'll be in that number when the saints go marching in. When we gather around the throne and the gates are closed within, oh, we'll be shouting glory, glory when the saints go marching in. Saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I know I'll be in that number when the saints go marching in. I'm waiting for the chariot to swing low, and I'll step in. On the cloud we'll ride to heaven when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I know I'll be in that number when the saints go marching in. When we gather round the throne and the gates are closed within, oh, we'll be shouting glory, glory when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I know I'll be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go
aren't you? Let's all stand at this time. I'll ask Brother Colley if he'll come with a responsive reading.
Good morning, everyone. Thankful to God to be in his house of worship again. Amen. So many people desire to be and can't be. So many people should be, don't want to be. But we thank God for blessing us to be here. Amen. We're going to read Psalm 84, 1 through 12. Let's ask God to bless his word that may open it to our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for this privilege and opportunity, Lord, you have given unto us. We thank you, Lord, that we have a desire in our hearts to come together to worship. Lord, to understand your word, to understand you. Lord, for your life is precious unto us. Lord, we ask you to bless everyone that is present, God, any thoughts of anything that shouldn't be in our hearts, Father, we ask that you would remove them, Lord, and replace it with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to bless those that are in the Sunday school classes, from the smallest, Lord, to the oldest, that they will have a strong foundation, Lord, to grow upon. We ask you to bless Brother Dale this morning and touch him in a special way, that the words he brings to us, Lord, will come a part of our life, that we may have the understanding we need. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 84. How admirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longeth yea, even panteth after the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God.
Yea, the sparrows have found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will feast and praise thee.
Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah.
Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed.
For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I have rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. God bless you. Be seated.
Let's turn over to 182. That's 182 in the spiral group. I have heard of a land on a far away strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die.
Never grow in a land.
in that beautiful home where we'll never more roam. We shall be in the sweet by and by. Happy praise to the King through eternity sing. Here's a land where we never shall die, never grow old, we'll never grow old. In a land where we'll never
for you.
sunny in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. And go out through the streets and byways. Reach the word to the many or few. Say to over 200. I am bound for the promised land. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye toward Canaan.
All that happy golden shore, what a I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, a glorious day. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, and forever I'll be with the one who died for me. What a day. Saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Well, there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. Sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, what a glorious day. No sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, what a glorious day. That will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be.
Amen. 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 Aren't you looking forward to that? You ready to hear the word?
Amen.
Let's all stand. We'll change the word of the service. It's in the black notebook, number 28, if you don't know it. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you.
Amen.
Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted.
around, you might find him. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to Colossians 1. Ephesians 1, Colossians 1. Good to see the visitors with us today. And I always say to you, when you come one time here, you're a visitor. Two time, you're a part of us. So this, we don't have anything to join up with. We're just part of the body of Christ. And so we say to you, welcome. And just, you know. Now remember, the fall festival will be on October the 31st. So keep that in mind and pray to the Lord would give us good weather for that weekend and everything. And then remember, Brother David Gadman will be with us, the Lord willing, preaching November the 8th. So just keep those in mind. Any other announcements? No. Good to have Sister Anna with us today. She had surgery yesterday and already back today and everything, fellowshipping, so that's good. We pray the Lord would bless her and take care of her and make everything to be well. All right? Yeah. So Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we can come to you in a time when we can rejoice and say thank you for your presence with us and your love and understanding that you'd give each and every one of us, Father. And we pray that you would just let that love be extended into all of our hearts and lives that we may follow after you. And Father, forgive our sins because we know that we fail you, but we just ask you to have your way with each one of us. Lead us now as we go into the further part of the service. You said you sent your word and healed us. So there's many sicknesses among us today and things, Lord, that, you know, needs to be taken out of the way. We pray that you would bless and have your way with each one. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to Colossians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Look where it's all gathered, in Christ. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, part payment, see, because we're still living in these old flesh, still here in life, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. All right, Colossians 1, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now watch who this great person is, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before him, before all things, and by him all things consist. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Yes. Now, we have started into a little series part of trying to speak about predestination and making it simple to where people could understand it. And, you know, we know that God by his foreknowledge predestinates, but we're trying to go back further in understanding to make it clear of all of the things that we're talking about. All right. And in doing that, we have to, if you're going to talk about predestination, you're going to have to talk about someone who could do the predestinating, because that would be the point, because predestination is simply the fact or state of predetermining something to be, because it's predestination. All right. Now, so we thank God. We're glad to have a little Mordecai with us, and Esther and Timbo just visiting, but we're glad to have him with us today. Amen. But now, what was we talking about this past Wednesday? This great being that we read of here in Colossians, and read how that, and we can go on down to the 19th verse and find out that in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, see, if you're going to talk about, as I said, predestination, then you're going to have to find out who is doing what. That's the most sensible way of approaching it, because, you know, you can argue, and they have been arguing over time, over predestination. Is it this way or is it this way? And no concern whatsoever as to talking about who would be doing the predestinating, or who would be doing it this way or that way. It's just an argument over whether it's predetermined or is it this way, you know, of a foreknowledge is and all. And all of it together is in the Word of God. Right. Amen. All right. But my point to start with is talking about the one who's doing the predestinating. Amen. Right. All right. Because we need to know that. Yep. Because we can learn that and see who he is and how great he is. Amen. Then it will make us easier to understand what we would say, you know, well, he does this, he does that. And you got to admit there's a lot of things in the Bible that does lay out an order or a point, you know, to where that we can understand. But we're talking about, we did this last Wednesday, of this great being that we talk about that we call God. Yeah. All right? And in doing that, we know that you can take and the word God is not a good being part there, because you can make a God out of anything. All right? You can do those things, and in making a God out of any form or point, you know, we want to go back a little bit further than to just think about God as an object of worship, because that's your English word for God. All right? And as far back as you can go, or any of the scholar forms that you can read in your Bible, there are the footnotes and the things of Scofield, a different one, and you'll find that you can go back in a place called, in the beginning, where that it would be talking about Elohim. Amen. Which Elohim simply means the self-existing one. Amen. Who reveals himself. Amen. Because that's what he's doing. Right. He created us, right? And then he begins to come and try to reveal himself to us. That's the purpose of the being here on earth, is to fellowship with us. Amen. but yet to reveal himself to us, to make himself known to us that we could, comprehend. All right? And we know that this great being then, as I said, you call him and you say, well, the Elohim, because that's not a name. Jehovah's not a name. Yahweh's not a name. All of these things that everybody comes up with, none of that is a name. You know, so who are we talking about? You know.
Amen.
All right. Who are we talking about? What is the point of talking about predestination if we don't understand who's doing the predetermining?
Right. Amen.
So then the point to me is the important part is to get who he is. And then we can come back to the Bible and it would help us to understand what he would be doing,
Amen.
And revealing himself, because that's his purpose,
Amen.
Is to show you and I who he is and make that known to us to where that we could understand God.
Amen.
It's always been God's plan and purpose from the very beginning to make himself known. Or else, why would he have created man? All right? But then we can get into seeing this great person that we talk about as being Almighty God. See, using the word there that would be used, because that's the terms we use to in the Bible writings. They would come up with the word God and write it in, and it's okay. I'm not saying it's wrong for them to have done it. But yet we go back then and just look up that word God, and it simply means object of worship. All right? Well, see, he's more than just an object of worship. He's the great eternal being. He's Almighty God. And that way we don't believe in a Trinity. We believe in a triune God. All right? See, we don't believe in a Trinity of gods. Because simple terminology is plain language. If you got three gods, who created who? Well, then you can't do it. See, then we call it co-equal and co-eternal. That's the words used in the terminologies of mankind. How can you be co-eternal? How can you be a son and co-eternal with your father? See? All right? Then it needs for us to drop back, and think about. And that's what I've been trying to do is in this little series part, is get you to think about how real God is. Well, God is just a spirit. He's just floating around. Well, is that true? Is he just floating everywhere? Or is he a being? Is he a person? All right, then is that person real? Or just the thoughts of your imagination or some feeling that you have? Some point, that you think about. Which one is it? All right? See, I believe in a true God. I believe in a living God. I believe in a God that's trying to reveal himself to mankind, as I keep saying. All right? And in doing that, then he would have to take a form for us to understand him. All right? So the great self-existing is as far back as you can go. And then you go back to in the beginning, John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, that's as far as we can go humanly thinking is back that far. All right? But yet still, there had to be a God before there could be a beginning of anything. All right? So how real, I keep asking the question, how real is your God? Well, he's just a spirit. Well, now, what are you going to do then with mankind that's made in the image of God? So we'd just be a spirit. Huh? You mean we're greater than him? The wood that I tap on, always showing it, the pulpit, to say, you mean this is more real than the one that created it? No. The great eternal being, God himself, dwelt alone. I mean, even your writers agree. Go back to your scholars. They'll agree with it. That he's self-existing. Of course, they try to make some kind of a God in three persons theory doctrine out of it. And how can that be? How can it be that it's God in three persons? A person's a personality. Personality's an individual. It's a person. Well, see, you got three gods whether you want to talk about it or not. Right? Well, see, I'm trying to get us to see who that really is. That person that God really is. Yeah, but do you mean to think that you believe God is real? I sure do. I think I'm real. Don't you think you're real? I mean, you know, the worse we are, there's still something about us that's made in the image of God. Well, why can't we believe in God being real? Why can't we believe in Him being tangible? You know, He appeared throughout the Old Testament in many forms, sat down with Abraham and ate a calf and was called Melchizedek. And it's the same word there, Elohim, the self-existing one.
Right.
And see, then, is your God real, or is this just some imaginary thing that we've come up with to be able to try to control mankind's mind or whatever, you know, to have us to just think about a God? You know, and then the years ago, that remember to come up and the guy said that God was dead? Well, everybody just went haywire. My God's not dead. And all that, I talked to Him this morning. But how real is your God? Are you capable of understanding that we had to have a beginning as human beings, so that means there had to be someone create us? All right? So if someone created us, he must be greater than we are. But Brother Dale, you don't believe in the Trinity? No, I don't believe in the Catholic doctrine of the Trinity. There's no such thing in the Bible. Show me one scripture on it. There's no word Trinity. There's no such being. He's one true and living God. All right? By being the one true and living God, then He's trying His best to reveal Himself to us as that God. All right? But I just don't understand, because I believe in it. You know, it's what you've been taught.
Amen.
You've been taught all your life, this is your right hand. Well, how do you know that's right? We used to think when we was kids that because of the world being round and the people on the other side, the reason they had slanted eyes is because it was hanging upside down. Right? You know, they're down and we're up. Well, you know, you go over there and you're looking up the same way you're looking up over here. Your eyeballs don't get slanted because you're on the other side of the earth hanging upside down. You say, well, that's just silly. That's what I'm trying to say. Our silliness is what really confusing us in the understanding of the Bible. To be able to read it and understand what it's saying. Why would there be a word? Why would there be a Bible if there was not a real God to bring that to you and I that we could understand? So the point is your God real? Is this self-existing one you speak of? Or what is it doing? Is He real? Or is He just the thoughts of your mind? Well, if it's the thoughts of your mind, Santa Claus is better. Because there is a guy that ought to be down in the stores before long, you know, all over the country with a red suit on and white hair, you know. And the kids believe in Santa Claus. But do they believe in Jesus Christ? Huh? And like I said, I do this every year because of my statements, and I do it on Sundays and Wednesday for a time or two. I'm not against you putting up Christmas trees. If you want to put them up. But don't be against somebody that don't want to put them up. I said every year to where you'll understand where I stand. There won't be no Christmas trees put in the church. There won't be no wreaths put on the doors. There won't be no Santa Claus come running through the building, ho, 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 because we don't believe in that. Right? Well, see, that way then, if you want to put up a tree, put it up. If you don't want to put it up, don't put it up. And just don't talk against each other. Don't condemn the other person for not doing what you're, or, you know, doing what you're doing, trying to make it right and show it. Well, this is, isn't it? No, go on, just forget it. Just go on with it and be what you're being. I didn't quit putting up a Christmas tree when I came into the message. Because I said, well, forget it. It ain't what the Bible's talking about. Oh, everybody says, you know, and somebody was telling me the other day, and I thought it was a good thought. But I'll think of who it might have been, Brother Joe or somebody. Anyhow, you see, you go take that scripture where it says you go out in the woods, you cut down a tree, you bring in a house, you decorate it, and they say that's a Christmas tree. Where's that at? Show it to me in the Bible. Hey, I got a little knowledge, and I like what people tell me sometimes, and it rings a bell. Every who I was talking to about it said, you know, that was in the Old Testament where the Jews was at. Yeah. And they don't believe in Santa Claus. Right? The Jews don't believe in Santa Claus. They'll tell you where all that come from. Then that evidently wasn't a Santa Claus that they're talking about. Old Saint Nick evidently wasn't 4,000 or 5,000 years old. Right, you know. So just forget it. Leave it alone. Just don't condemn the other person, and the other person don't condemn the other one. Leave it alone. Let it go. And forget it, because it's not talking about those things. All right? Well, I'd always thought, and then brother, yeah, I know what the preachers, this message is preached, that Brother Branham was in over in another age, and that was the reason he put up a Christmas tree. But we're over in another age over here. Well, you mean our messenger is not in the age we're in? What have you just done? You got to have your messenger in the age you're living in. Come on, have common sense. If the messenger's not in the age, we don't have a messenger. All right, but see, just forget it. Let it go. But if what my point is, one thing. The world knows more about Santa Claus and believe he's more real than they do about Jesus Christ and how real he is. All right? And see, he said, unless you believe, and is this his wording? Unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Who's the he he's talking about? Why did they kill him? You're a man making yourself God. Right? They crucified him because that he told them who he was. All right? Well, see, then that puts it to where that he's real. All right? He's a person. He's a being. And he's not no three-person being. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a human. I'm a pastor of a church. I'm a former General Motors employee. I'm a this. I'm the that of that. But how many people are the of me? All right. How many does it take? How many are the of us? There's just one. And see, when Jesus was standing there on earth, he said, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. He said, I and my Father are one. Well, no, I and my Father, that's two people. Is it?
No.
I and my Father are one. You know, I'm a Dale. All right? See, then that way we can get down to seeing. I'm talking about that this great being that was self-existing that dwelt alone. All right? And back there in him dwelling alone, there was not a whole lot of people with him. There was not a mass of beings back there. He was the only being, the only person. Or else it wouldn't be called self-existing. See? All right? So get it in the right order to try to help these that are just come in, you know, to understand what we're saying. Get it in the right order to understand the Bible. It is trying to reveal God to you and I. That's the purpose. He gave his word. All right. See, then that way he's a being. He's not just a thoughts of your mind. You know, a lot of people believe the devil. There's churches that believe the devil is just the bad thoughts you have. And God is the good thoughts you have. Well, that's pretty good, ain't it? Maybe somewhere we can get in the middle with it or something, you know. We could do something with it, but that's not what it is. See, according to the Bible that we read, then we understand one thing for sure. Either Jesus was Almighty God or the biggest deceiver that has ever been because of the way he stated it. All right? But see, he dwelt alone. Not Jesus the flesh man. That came into being 2,000 years ago, see, and was crucified and hung on a tree. All right? To release that life that was in him to where it could come back on us to make us the offspring of the children of God. All right? See, then, knowing that, we believe in the one true and living God and him existing alone. But now think about it. Think about what he is as he would exist alone. See, it would bring into thinking then that he dwelt alone, that there wouldn't be anybody with him, for number one. There wouldn't be no second person or a third person or anything like that. That's what's been taught to us by the Catholic Church. Amen. To deceive our minds. All right? It's the one true and living God. And Jesus is his name. All right? Do you know that Jesus is the only name God ever had? Amen. Show me worse than anything else. Jehovah's a title. Yahweh's a title. Elohim's a title. All of those words you can come up with of mankind are just titles. Amen. So you got like Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tishkenu. You got the seven compound names. But all of them are just titles. Yeah. See? All right? See, but Jesus is his name. Amen. Now, we're not a oneness because that goes just as far off the scale as the Trinity goes off. Because, see, you just get that oneness thought. Uh-uh. There had to be a time that he was manifesting himself as the great Jehovah God, the Spirit God, right? Then he came in human flesh to dwell on the shores of Galilee, you know, and preach to us. Then he became back on the day of Pentecost as the baptism of the Holy Ghost coming into the church. So there's your one true and living God. The same God that's living in you right now by the new birth is the same God that walked the shores of Galilee. He said, what do you believe then? Well, I believe he was a second person. Well, where are you going to get that at? If he's eternal, how can he be a second person? Right? Is he eternal? You'd have to agree he's eternal. Amen. All right, then how can you make him a second person? You better make him the first person. Amen. Or the person be better. Because that way, see, then you wouldn't have no problem. And that's what I'm saying. They crucified the man we call Jesus Christ for saying that he was God. All right? You know, that's what he was saying. And they crucified him for that purpose or that point or reason. All right? Well, then why can't we believe that he's true today the same? Amen. Well, Jesus is not known. Jesus the flesh is not here with us. It's up in what would be known as the realms or dimensions called heaven. All right? But the spirit that was in him that walked on the shores of Galilee is in our heart by the new birth. Amen. To give us Christ in you, the hope of glory, as Paul would say it. All right? See, then why do we have any problem with trying to understand one God? See, it's because all of your life, what you've been taught. All your life, you've been taught there's three gods. Well, never thought about what it was. And great theologians still even believe that. When they can't even prove none of it in the Scripture. and can't line it up none whatsoever with the Word of God. But see, that's why we believe in the one true and living God. And that's what I'm trying to get us to see. If we're going to talk about a predestination or somebody to predetermine, we better get back and find out who's doing that. See, that's the first basis of understanding Bible, is to understand who the Bible is talking about. And it's talking about that one true and living God. And Jesus is his name. You say, no, J-V-H-V, J-V-H-U, there's two different form thoughts. Those are the ones, and that's why that when they come up with it, they put it Jehovah, because there was J-V-H-V, there was no way to pronounce it. See, so they had to do something to be able to get it into the terminologies for us to understand it. So they put the word Jehovah to try to bring it down to an understanding. But his name is Jesus. Come on, simple terminologies. What did Jesus say? He said, I come in my Father's name. I'm a Dale because my father was a Dale. I have three kids. They're Dales because their father was a Dale. That's simple. He said, I come in my Father's name. He said, even the Holy Ghost will be sent in the Father's name or in his name. So his name is Jesus. Amen. Yeah, but that's the oneness doctrine. No, oneness don't believe in the Old Testament. Oneness is like this. Jehovah the old, Jesus is new, and now. You know. One like your finger. That won't work in Bible terms. See, that way they don't follow the lineup of the scriptures to understand. If he was God, he still is God. Amen. All right? And he'll forever be God. Then put Hebrews 13:8 with that, because it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right? So his name is Jesus. Why can't we see that? It took all of those 4,000 years to bring that name into a point. Not to bring just the letters J-E-S-U-S, S, you know, but to bring it into being that his name would be manifest on earth in the human flesh. All right? And then now in you and I by the new birth, who is it? Christ in you, Paul says, the hope of glory. Amen. All right? But you see, it's not trying to bring it down, and I know we are because you got to bring it down, but it's trying to reveal. Because see, the word has got to be revealed to us. You can quote it all your life. You can memorize every scripture in the Bible. That don't save you. It's when the word is revealed to you. Amen. Then it'll bring it. All right? Then what is it doing then? Now, look at the great eternal God. Okay? We got to this part Wednesday and then stopped. Now, the self-existing one dwelt alone. All right? Now, but the prophet that we believe in, that God sent to us and brought us the word, used it like this. He said, he dwelt alone with his attributes. Amen. All right? He said, now what are his attributes? He said, they're his thoughts. Right. Yeah, but Brother Dale, you try to make God too real. Well, I wish I could make him so real until you would understand it. Yeah, I wish I could preach it to you that you'd understand how real I do believe that God is. Yeah, but you've never seen him and see him in his word. That was the purpose of giving us the word. All right? See, then doing that then, he had attributes. All right? Now, I've preached this to you before, so we just give a little lineup of some things on it. But I want you to think about that attributes. And what is an attribute? It's like a thought or a part of you. It's something of you, you know. Each one of you have attributes. You know, you have your own personalities. You have your own character. You have your own nature. Because that's your attributes. That's what you are. You are what your attributes are. And God has three attributes. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not Trinitarianism. Three times he made himself manifest. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The three attributes. All right. Then in those three attributes, there's many things that are involved. Because he's a healer. So he had to display that. Then you know that by him, that God being a healer, that would mean something would have to be sick for him to heal. He could not make it sick and be just. Neither could he make you lost to where he could save you. He put man on a free moral agency to accept or reject, and man rejected in the garden. All right? And when they rejected, it put us all into the situation of sin. All right? But God wanted to display his attributes. All right? And to display those attributes as Savior, he had to come into human flesh and live.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, see, we've got that great idea that God sent his Son. Why don't you get out of the Catholic Church and settle down and think a little bit?
Amen.
Well, I've never been in a Catholic Church. You got the same doctrine.
Right.
You've got the same concept.
Amen.
Yeah. Get down and read the Bible for yourself. And find me a Trinity in the Bible and come and show it to me.
Yep. Right.
No. See, then he had that one that created all things, that one that was the all doing. And we know that according to Hebrews 1, John 1, Colossians 1, and Ephesians 3 and 9, that Jesus Christ created all things.
That's right.
Now, who's the creator? There's no scripture showing you the Father is a creator. It's Jesus Christ, the Christ. The Christ is the creator. And who is the Christ? He's Almighty God. All right? You say, yeah, but I just don't understand because, see, I believe it's a Father and a Son and the Holy Ghost. Well, why wasn't they on earth when Jesus was walking around? Right? He was standing there saying, unless you believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Mm-hmm. But you see, church, when he dwelt alone, he had his thinking, his thoughts. And we'll get to it more this afternoon, but it's, let's see, I'll think of it in a minute, but I got it wrote down. It's in Isaiah. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, my ways are not your ways. He said, my thoughts are so far above your thoughts. In other words, paraphrasing, said that your thoughts don't even come into existence. Right? See, you see, then we don't think about who he is that created us. He's just a spirit. Well. The devil's a spirit. So now which one are you going to follow after? He said, well, I feel it. Well, the devil can give you feelings too. Right? See, trying to make it in a simple point that God dwelt alone, but in his thinking, he wanted a family. All right? So in wanting a family, then it would mean that he would have to do something to bring that thought into being.
Right. Amen.
Right? And now listen, then his thoughts are eternal.
Right.
Now everything God thought of is not eternal.
Right.
Come on, get it right.
Right.
Everything he thought of is not eternal. This pulpit's not eternal.
Right.
He thought of the wood, the acorn, it would come out of the oak tree, the things, the earth come out of it. All of that. He can't have another thought. Well, you're limiting God. No, I'm not. He limited his own self. By being God, he can't have two different thoughts about something. That's why if you can find it in God's word, you can depend on what he said. Right? Because what he said is what he meant. What he meant, he said it. Right? So in the beginning was the word. Word was with God. So what? Then in Genesis 1, it says, and God created the heavens and the earth. Right? See, then he is a person. He's real. He's more real than we are. He has a place called heaven where he lives, which is really just another dimension. We're in life, light, and matter. That's three dimensions. Then the fourth dimension is like TV. You can't see it, but try to set one up right here. Turn it on. Now, you're going to tell me that all them people that's on that TV is coming through that little old wire? Come on, folks. Let's don't be dummies. Is ever all them people that's on that TV coming through that wire? No, that's just electricity. They got to be a sending set out there, and that TV is just a receiver. All right? But you know what? It shows you exactly those people. Right? So it's just another dimension. All right? See, God lives in a higher dimension. All right? It's greater than this dimension. You say, well, how do you know those things are real? Plug up your TV and turn it on. It proves that there's another dimension. All right? We believe in demons and stuff like that. They travel in another dimension. They're just not to the eyeball that you can see it. All right? But you see, what are you getting at, brother? I'm getting to one thing. God dwelt alone with his attributes, his thoughts. He had thoughts of what he wanted to be. He wanted to be a savior. He wanted to be a healer. He wanted to be a father. He wanted to be a creator. All of that was in God before the foundation of the world. And those thoughts are eternal. He can't tell you one thing and then tell you something else. We're real good at that, right? We can't keep our word all the time. But God can keep his word because that's what he is.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
See, then that's what I'm driving at, that this one that existed alone is more real than we are.
Amen.
He brought us into being. We didn't bring him into being.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Right? And see, by doing it, then he had within him them things. Why do you, come on, brothers, why do you come up with a little child, you don't know nothing about it, and girls, they get a little bit ahead, right, you know, they're a couple of two or three years more in advance, you know, and they think, you know, they start playing with dolls and things, you know, and then that's showing that they're going to turn out to be a mother one of these days and things like that, but boys, they're just boys, you know. They just don't have no mind at all for a long time. And like I tell you, if you don't know, you can tell when they're growing up. You know, in the first years of a little old boy, what is it? You got to make him take a bath. Right? He stinks. You got to make him take a bath. And to get him to put on deodorant when he's 10, 11 years old is, man, that's, I ain't no sissy. Right? Just little old boy. Girls, see, get ahead of that. You know, they kind of, that motherly instinct takes over. You know why? Because that's their attributes. Right? But the little old boys, he come along late, you know, and he runs around, and all he's interested in is taking a wheel or something and rolling it on the ground. You can look at these little old kids. You get so tickled at them. I do. Because the little old kid don't know a thing in the world. You give it a car and they sit down on the ground and go, yeah. Where'd that come from? There's an attribute inside that little kid. that needs to be displayed. And you just give him time, you know, and it'll work. Well, all right, but to get on with my story, what I'm saying, you get a little old boy, you know, he gets to thinking about girls. They think about boys, you know, and they think early. That's why you got to watch them girls. They get to thinking a little early, and they start prettying up and fixing up. And the old boy, he just don't give a hoot what he looks like and what he stinks like. But then he winds up, and all at once you see him, you know, and you think, hey, he took a bath. I didn't have to order him to do it. What is that? I'm talking about attributes, right? Simple little illustration of attributes. What is that? There's an attribute in him being displayed. Right. Then the first thing you know, you walk through the house and, man, he's got on deodorant. Yeah. That means that attribute inside of that body is beginning to come into being. Right?
Amen.
He's just a little behind, boys. Come on. Because they say the girl thinks with the right side of the brain anyway, and we think with the left. I think that's the way it is. And that, you know, because you're more in your right mind than we are. But still, what are you talking about? I'm trying to illustrate how God was. He had desires within him to be a savior,
yep,
to be a healer,
amen,
to be a father, to be a son,
yep, sure,
to be a savior.
Right.
He had all of those attributes in him before there was anything ever come into being. Because
right,
his attributes, now I've preached it to you before, so you know what I'm going to say. His attributes were eternal.
Right. Amen.
He never gained an attribute coming this way. He didn't come over into creation and bringing it down and then develop an attribute later. He had those attributes in him before the world.
Amen.
That's how real the God I'm talking about is to me. That before this world ever begun, before any atoms or molecules or anything ever come into existence, he already had in his mind what he wanted. And that was his attributes. He could display some things back there and stay in eternity. He could display the fact of being God. Because he could create angels and they'd worship him, and that would make him our English word God. All right? But that didn't bring him into being the way he wanted. He could be Father in the fact that he could create.
Right?
And he could become many things back there. You remember the other week we were talking about? He could become those attributes. But yet he couldn't be Savior and he couldn't be healer. But the attribute was there. That's why we come into being.
Right.
See, we come into being where it could display his attributes.
Yeah.
All right? Sure, as horrible as we are, but you know what? We are displaying his attributes.
Right.
For us to be lost is a bad thing, right? But you know, if we wasn't lost, he couldn't display his attribute as Savior.
Right.
If we wasn't sick, he couldn't display his attribute as a healer.
Nope.
So then he would have had things about him that he could not brought into being.
Right.
But there was things about him before the world ever begun that could come into being before we would start what we would call time.
Right.
But those were his attributes, his thoughts. He thought about being a Savior. It would have to wait until man fell.
Right. That's right.
Huh?
Amen.
He thought about being a healer. That would have to wait.
Yep.
But he could already be a creator. He could already be a father. He could already be, as we use the word, son.
Right.
And we don't believe in eternal sonship. There's no such thing. That ain't even plain, sensible language. You can't have an eternal sonship. You can have a son of God that's eternal, but you can't have a son, an eternal son, because it wouldn't work. So you can't have it to where to be that way. You got to bring it down the way that God brought it down. And he brought down his attributes. But he always had them attributes. He always had the thoughts of you. That's what's so amazing to what I love about it. Even in my fallen condition, he still thought of me. And he made a way that the gospel would cross my path, that I could make a choice. But he thought of me to start with. If he didn't, he added a thought. God can't change his mind. That's why the prophet said, you find it in the Bible, you can call God on the scene. Why? Because that's his word. This, if we believe it to be the word of God, why don't we believe it that way? That we can read what it says and believe that he's talking to me. How are we supposed to do in the scripture? He was wounded for our transgression. No, you're not supposed to read it that way, right? He was wounded for Samuel Dale. He was bruised for Samuel Dale. You got to put your name there because that's who it was for you. All right. But see, that way we can believe in the one true and living God and keep it in the right order and come down to see that he thought of us before the world. All right? See, now that's back past. Now you're going, this is what's going to trap us in what our thinking. So listen, when he was thinking about you, that's why I said he thought of everybody. He thought of everybody to ever be in the world. All right? That don't make it eternal. Just because he thought it. Remember the statement a while ago? Everything he thought of is not eternal.
Right.
Now, see, then as he thought of us as coming to salvation in time. But, you know, foreknowledge deals with time here. Foreknowledge deals with something that takes place. Is that sensible? Foreknowledge. Knowledge before of something that will take place. Right? I wish I could think of something that is non-existent, you know, to get a point to you. See, if it's non-existent, then God didn't think about it in foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is knowledge of what happens after mankind come into the world. You say, yeah, but he was sitting back there. Was he sitting back there thinking about it? And just thinking that he could, well, I could do this or I could do that. Maybe I could do this and maybe I could do that. No. That'd be like our thinking. But see, whatever thought he had, it's going to be that way. But remember, whatever thought he had has got to be displayed here. So it's on this side of eternity. All right, we'll get to it this evening. This side of eternity is foreknowledge. The other side of eternity back in his mind, that's why I've always told you, I don't want to be just what God thought of. Because he thought of Judas Iscariot. He thought of Adolf Hitler. He thought of everybody being in the world. People say, oh, I just believe I was a thought in God's mind. Well, what do you mean? Everybody was a thought in God's mind. I want to be a part of the mind. I want to be a part of the thinker. I want to be part of that attribute. I want to be eternal. Right? Is that our purpose for coming here? To receive eternal life? But yet, well, why does the people believe a lot in the message? People say, oh, I always was eternal. Well, then you don't need a Savior. You just eradicated the point of him being a Savior. You ain't letting him display no attributes.
Right.
What? But see, the attributes of God is always been with God. He didn't gain them as he come into the world. Those attributes are eternal.
Amen.
So is his thoughts. Put them together. His thoughts are eternal. Now, he thought of what Judas Iscariot would do, right? But he gave him a choice. Right? He thought of what Cain would do in the garden, right? But he said, Cain, you'd be accepted too if you do like your brother. He gave him a choice. But he knew the choice. That's no problem with God. But how about thinking back a little further about those attributes? Let's go back the other way just a little bit about those attributes. You know, to him to have those attributes was a part of him. Right. And you know, by being part of him, then why do we worry about eternal life? Eternal life is eternal life. There's only one form of eternal life. There's not many forms of it. There's one form of eternal life, and that's God's own life. The only way I can be eternal is how God's life come in me. Right? And see, by having his life come into me, then it can make me eternal. But if you come into the world with eternal life, you don't need his life. See, you don't need for him to die if you come into the world with eternal life. Yeah, but Brother Dale, the prophet said, I agree with you. We'll get to him. But he said, if you have eternal life, you always was eternal. What? Eternal life. So you're going to have to get back to find out how you can have eternal life. Right? Now, if you come into the world with eternal life, you don't need a Savior. And he ain't displaying his attributes, so you're cutting him off. And you're going to make him a respecter of persons. If you come into the world with eternal life, and I didn't, then he respected persons. Right? But get what I'm talking about. Just a simple point. His attributes, he's always had them. His thoughts, he's always had them. And he can't have a new thought. There's no way. He can't change his mind. He knows what we're going to do. All right? And that, then, his attributes is that part of him that's eternal. Okay? And then that way he can give us his life and make us eternal. Correct? Now, let's get that little point right there about the new birth. Because I know this is misunderstood a little bit, but we talk about Christ coming and living in us. What do you mean? Is there another person coming living in you? Or is it the fact that he made you eternal? What is the new birth? Not you're standing here and here comes another person over and stands inside of you. No. He just gives eternal life to the person you are. And that puts him and you together as persons. Right? I'm wrong. The words are right. You and him together as persons. But it's not two persons standing there. It's he gives eternal life to you. He makes you eternal. By imparting his own life. Well, if you always was eternal, why do you need to be made eternal again? You need to quote, there's no such thing as two eternities. Now, I can even quote that to you. There's no such thing as two eternities, the prophet said. You can't have that. It's one eternity. And if Christ comes in you by the new birth, see, he just simply gives eternal life to the person you are. And that makes you and God together as one. Why? Because he's eternal. All right? So then get the new birth in a simple form. But you've got to receive it.
Amen.
See, that was what his attributes was. His attributes was to be a savior, to be a healer, but there had to be something lost before he could display that. But when mankind become lost, then he could move into the realm of being a savior. Right? He could have, his thoughts would be displayed then. I don't glory in the fall. Don't do that. Just accept the fact that it did happen. And accept the fact that if it didn't happen, he would not be able to display his attributes.
Amen.
So then God's mind before the world, he knew it was going to fall.
Right. Amen.
You know what he had to do then? He had to permit us to come to a situation that we could be lost.
Right.
I said permitted us to come to the situation. He could not make us lost and then come down and save us. He permitted us. He gave us a free moral agency, knowing we would fall. And we fail. You know, that's displaying now his attributes. He can be a savior. Something he couldn't have done had he not permitted it. All
right?
See, attributes are your thoughts. You know, your thoughts. Your attributes. Your thoughts is you. Like I said about the little boy. See, after he comes along so far, he begins to think. After the girl comes so far, she begins to think. That's her attributes. We call it motherly instinct in the girl or something, you know. Or we just call it being crazy for the boys. But, because that's basically what it is. But you see, that attribute was there. Right? See, in that male is the germ that's a very part of him. That's his attribute. He has to have the wife to be able to manifest his attributes, just as God had to have sin to come into being to display his attributes. See, Adam in the garden couldn't have been. We don't believe in them mixed up words, you know, today, and where you're two people, you know, morphodites or what you want to call the terminologies and all, you know, male and female, and that don't work. That's man's ideas. Adam couldn't do that. He had to have a wife. God could not bring forth his being into the world without having someone to help him. So quit leaning on the fall as much and lean on the Savior. Because at the same time that he would know he's going to do that, then he would do it. His thoughts then is eternal. His attributes are eternal. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is eternal. All of those attributes, healer, Savior, Creator, Advocate, anything you want to bring in. God is an attribute. All right. Then he created angels.
Yep.
And they worshiped him. Now you got your word correct.
Amen.
Right. See? But you understand what I'm saying? What I'm trying to get is just in a simple form where it'll help everybody to see that there was a time that God dwelt alone.
Yeah, right. Amen. Sure.
He was called self-existing. That's the best words we could use. You couldn't bring the word Jesus into being back there because you got to wait until you come to flesh to bring in the name. That's sensible. My name, Dale, was Dale, right? But when it was really made into manifestation was when the family came into being. Then my offspring took my name to make them being Dales. Right? And see, then that way, he's not a first person, second person, third person. He is the person of Almighty God. Made manifest in human flesh upon the earth that he could give his life to come and live in you and I. Now his plan and purpose is coming into being. And we're helping him.
That's right. Amen.
True. Because we're volunteering ourselves. All right. The attributes, his thoughts, but they're eternal.
Right.
See? Those attributes are eternal.
Amen.
He always had them. We're just helping him display them.
That's right.
We always had those desires within him to be those attributes.
Amen.
But at the same time, he had a desire because of being God that he desired that nobody would be lost. Right?
Yep,
right. He would, the Bible said, it all be saved.
Right.
See, because of his attributes, it looked like he'd just push it over and it would make it go that way. No. He would have to have, being God, those thoughts too, that I can't make this wrong and judge the man for being wrong. There's no court of appeal on this thing to where you can say, well, God, you made me this way. That's what I've told you. My brother's a Methodist preacher. He said, God can't condemn me for being a sinner. He made me a sinner. I said, he didn't make you a sinner. He made you right. You become a sinner. You become the sinner. He didn't make you a sinner. He couldn't make you a sinner and condemn you for being a sinner. All right. But you see, then it comes back down to the point of where that it would please God for all of these things to take place and he could display his attributes, his thoughts, his nature, his ways. As I was saying about it, then his nature on one side would want the children, you know, offspring. Right. But on the other side of it, his nature requires that he cannot just make that person lost. He has other attributes about him. But being a nature, as the prophet would call him, is doing the nature of God is that he can't let any, he don't want anybody lost. He died for once, the Bible says, for all. Then whatever we have need of is paid for in him. But you understand what I'm getting at? Just a point. His attributes are eternal. He's never got a new attribute. It's eternal. His thoughts are eternal. All right? So then why are we worried? Let's just find out what his thoughts are.
That's it.
Right? You say, well, how do I know whether I'm a, you know, I'm a child of God or not? Is the life of Christ in you? Then that's what makes you a child of God.
Right.
Yeah, but I've heard all these doctrines, all right? The more doctrines is what's messed up everybody anyway.
Amen. That's right. True.
But the truth will straighten it out.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
But get nothing else this morning. Get one thing. His attributes are eternal. Because
right.
They're a part of him.
Right.
Anything that's a part of him has to be eternal.
Right.
His thoughts are eternal. So all we got to do is just make sure we line up with what he says in this word, because here's his thoughts. This message is God's thoughts displayed, right? Is that what we believe, that God sent a prophet? Not to correct this word, not to tell us the wrongs of the word, but to tell us how right it was and how eternal it is. So the prophet, what did he say? If you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse, go back and read it again. Why? Because the whole Bible is Christ being made known to mankind.
Right.
All right. See, we're down here at the end of all things, fixing to make a change, to step over into eternity. And we know that that's one of his attributes. Now, come on, think with me for a second, then we'll quit. His attribute in the last days, or his point is to reveal himself. But there's an attribute about God that he's never displayed the way he wanted it. He wants to change these bodies. He wants to give us eternal life in these bodies. Right? And then and only then will the Bible be correct that we'll have bodies like unto his glorious body. We'll be like him. See? Then we'll find out then he is real. See, then we'll step into another dimension. Right? Called heaven, whatever you want to call it. And when we step into that dimension, we'll see him for ourselves. Even Job said that, right? I know my Redeemer liveth, and in the last days he'll stand up on the earth, and he said, whom I'll see for myself and not another. You don't be taking somebody else's word for it. You'll see him. Well, if he's not real, how are you going to see him? Well, he's just a myth. He's just, that's what you're doing. So is the world. Got the world deceived with Santa Clauses and all kind of things. If we'd have taught our kids the real God, you don't have to worry about telling them about Santa Claus. You don't have to worry about screaming and hollering about Christmas trees if you tell them about the real God. Because they'll see him for themselves. They'll know him for themselves. That's the thing of my goal. Come on, musician. That's my goal. That's my point. But if you don't get nothing, get the point of what I'm saying. God's attributes are eternal. God's thoughts are eternal. He cannot have another one. So whatever he thought, he decreed it and wrote it in his word. Now show me something that's not written in this word. It tells about the end of the world. It tells about the new city coming down. It tells all of the things that are to happen right here in the Bible. It tells about you and me and the day we're living. It tells that there'll be a change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Somebody's got to fulfill that. Because that's what God put in his word. All we got to do is just find the word and read it. Read it for yourself sometimes. Take off. I don't mean wrong about it. No, we just all say what we think. But see, I used to read the Bible from a set of glasses that was given to me called Baptist. You say, well, did they give you a set of glasses? Yeah, they gave me a doctrine in my mind that made my glasses work according to them. So we need to go get us a new set of glasses. You know? And read the Bible for ourselves. And see what it says. The world today, what? You mentioned water baptism and see if the world don't jump on to you. But show me one place in the Bible anybody was ever baptized, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and I'll write you a check today for $10,000. Anybody want to claim it? You can't find it. It's Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's no names at all. And he said, baptize in the name of the Father, amen, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. See, it's Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, if you know where you stand, you don't worry about it. You can believe it. Oh, yeah, there's people out there that could come up with books. There's people on the internet said, I'll go get this book of so-and-so. Don't send it to me because it ain't authentic. I'm talking about this book. Not to show me what so-and-so said the book says, or where the Catholics changed it, or the Baptists changed it, or the Methodists changed it to fit our doctrines. Yeah. A lot of them just wrote their own books. Just show it to them in the Bible. All right. Well, then why wouldn't you want to take and follow the Word? But it'll make you very unpopular. Right? You don't have to worry about leaving that church you're in or something. You just come and let me baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll be glad to go through every scripture. And then you go back and tell them what you've done. And you ain't going to be there long. And you'll find out in a hurry. Well, why wouldn't we want God's word? If this is God's thought, let's stand together. If this is God's thoughts, why wouldn't we want to follow his thoughts? And believe it. What do we got, brother?
360 in the Spire Book.
360 in the Spire Book. Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
It's 360. Greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me.
Do you believe that?
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in me.
On the day of Pentecost,
why wouldn't we want to do that?
Wind,
y'all believe Brother Branham was God? No. Because the Bible says he was.
And baptized all of them with a
power greater than any
earthly
foe. The Bible says there's one God.
Any earthly foe.
And his name is Jesus.
And I'm so glad I got it.
I
let the
that's
whole world know
that's man
that
God.
Greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in
see,
me.
See, we believe God used a man just like he used Paul. Just like he used Peter. Just like
yes,
he used those
greater
back there.
Is he that is in me.
That was promised in the Bible.
Greater is he that is in
to be in this
me.
Life day.
Is he that is
according to Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 7, was promised to be a messenger to come
Satan
to bring
like
us a message. That's all we believe. Anybody have a need?
He's seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so.
You're dismissed.
Many souls have been in prayer. To fall in some weak hour, but God has promised us.